Hello everyone, today I would like to present our recent work on dynamic binary translation. The title of our paper is A General Precision Code Caching Framework for Dynamic Binary Translation. And my collaborators are Benjong Yu, Antonia Zhe, and Stephen McCammond. As we know, dynamic binary translation is a key enabling technology for many applications, such as system virtualization, whole program analysis, and system security. However, the high translation overhead introduced by the binary translation prohibits its wide deployment. This high translation overhead can usually be amortized during the execution of the long-running applications or applications with hot code regions. But for short-running applications or applications with no hot code regions, this high translation overhead can be a significant performance penalty. In our paper, we measured this translation overhead for short-running applications. The results show that this overhead can be as high as 40% on average. In addition, short-running applications are very common in today's software systems, for example, web applications. So our work focuses on this high translation overhead for short-running applications. There are several different approaches to mitigate this high translation overhead. Reusing translated code has been shown to be very effective in reducing translation overhead. Most of the dynamic binary translation systems use software code caching to cache translated code for reuse in the same execution. Actually, this approach can be extended to reuse translated code across different executions with the same input or across different inputs, different versions of the same application, or even across different applications because there can be shared libraries. While reusing translated code can be very effective, there are several challenges that have to be addressed properly before it can be deployed. In this paper, we addressed three key challenges that have not been addressed effectively in previous research work. The first key challenge is introduced by the relocatable guest binary code. The second challenge is caused by the absolute addresses in translated code. And the third challenge is related to dynamically generated guest code, which is usually generated by just in time compilers, such as JavaScript Engine, Microsoft.NET Framework. So in the next few slides, I will explain each challenge in more details. First, let's see the first challenge, which is introduced by relocatable guest binary code. As we know, position independent property allows binary code to be relocated across different runs. However, this makes it difficult for us to reuse translated code. For example, in this first run, the guest code A may be located at address 1. After binary translation, we can get the host code for A. In the following execution, this guest code might be loaded into address 2, which is different from address 1. So if we simply use the instruction address of the guest code to search for its translated code, as in most existing dynamic binary translation system, we will not be able to find the translated code. So to overcome this challenge, our solution is to use the guest binary code itself to search for the translated code. The second challenge is caused by the use of absolute addresses in translated host code. In this example, the guest binary code is in 32-bit x86, and the host binary code is in 64-bit x86. And the guest code here makes a function call to function 4. And in the translated code, there is a push instruction that pushes the return address onto the stack. This push instruction uses the absolute address, and in this particular situation, this return address may be different if the guest code is relocated in the different executions, and then we will not be able to reuse this translated code. One possible solution for this problem is that we can ask the dynamic binary translation system to generate position-independent code. However, existing research work already shows that this implementation is not already efficient because we need to generate additional host instructions. So for this challenge, our solution is to generate relocation records to relocate the translated code before we reuse it. So this allows us to reuse the translated code without the loss of efficiency. So the third challenge is related to dynamically generated guest code, which is usually generated by the guest just-in-time compilers. These dynamically generated guest code may be located at different addresses across different runs. So we can address this problem with the same solution we have proposed for the first challenge, which is to use the guest binary code itself to search for its translated code. Another issue about the dynamically generated guest code is that most of the just-in-time compilers will continuously optimize its generated code. So the dynamic binary translation system need to translate these optimized versions of the generated code. To reuse this versions of the translated code, we also need to keep all versions of the original guest code for future search their translated code. So with all these solutions of these challenges, how can we combine them together to reduce the translation overhead? To achieve this, we design a general persistent code caching framework. This framework can be easily integrated with the existing dynamic binary translation system. So let's take a look at the original workflow in existing dynamic binary translation system and see how our framework interacts with it. In most dynamic binary translation system use a hash table to map the original guest binary code to its translated host code. And this hash table is usually based on the instruction address of the guest code. If we cannot find the translated code of a guest code from this hash table, the binary translator is invoked to perform the binary translation. And after this translation, the translated host code is saved into a software code cache for reuse in the same execution. So in this process, we perform the first phase in our framework, which saves the translated code into a persistent code file. This persistent code file is then searched in the following execution to find the translated code for guest code if we cannot find it from the hash table. If we can find a matching persistent code for a guest code, the translated code is copied directly into the software code cache to bypass the translator. So this is our second phase, which reuses the persistent code generated in previous translation to reduce the translation overhead. So now let's see more details about how persistent code is generated and reused. In our framework, persistent code is generated at different granularity levels for translation units, and each translation unit can be a basic block or a hot trace, and a trace can consist of multiple basic blocks. Our previous study showed that the size of a trace is usually in the order of 3 or 4 basic blocks on average. Each translation unit corresponds to one entry in the persistent code, and each entry contains the ID of this translation unit, the original guest binary code, the translated host binary code, and some relocation records for the translated host binary code. We also keep some metadata for the translation unit for future recovery. So with this data structure of the persistent code, we need an effective and efficient method to search, to find the translated code we need. So achieve this, we use a hash table based on the size and content of the guest binary code to search the persistent code entries. To reduce the hash table collisions, we use a two-level hash table. And if there is a hash table collision, we compare the original guest binary code bytewise to find a matching persistent code entry. One thing we need to pay attention to here is that dynamic binary translation system might apply some optimizations. And these optimizations may occur across different translation units. To allow correct reuse of the translated code, we need to compare the original code of all connected translation units. More details about this issue can be found in paper section 2.2. So now that we have the person code, and it can be reused to reduce translation overhead. Let's suppose this scenario. We already have a person code generated in previous execution of an application, and now we are executing another application. And we know these two applications share the same library. So if we can find a matching person code from existing person code, we can use it to reduce the translation overhead. Otherwise, if we cannot find, we need to perform the binary translation. Actually, this newly translated host binary code can also be reused in the following execution by merging it with existing persistent code to generate an accumulated persistent code. This allows us to reuse translated code across different applications. However, effective mechanisms are necessary to limit the size of accumulated persistent code so that we can search it efficiently. But designing such a mechanism is beyond the scope of this paper. Our implementation uses an existing system, HQEMU, which is a retargetable dynamic binary translation system based on QEMU. And HQEMU uses QEMU for basic block translation and use LLVM for trace optimization. In our experiment, the benchmark include SPEC C in 2006. To make them short running application, we use the test input set, which is the smallest input set for SPEC. We also use a JavaScript engine, the SpiderMonkey from Mozilla, to study the effectiveness of persistent code on web applications. The performance of the SpiderMonkey is evaluated using JavaScript benchmark suite from Google. Okay, the first question about persistent code caching we would like to answer is that how much translation overhead can be reduced? This figure shows the performance improvement with the persistent code generated from the same binary with same input. Here, the baseline is the execution time without using persistent code, and we only show the geometric mean for all SPEC C in the 2006 benchmarks. As shown in this figure, we can see our framework can achieve a factor of a 5 speed up with less than 200 megabytes persistent code size. Moreover, the performance overhead of generating and reusing persistent code is less than 1%. Now, the next question is translated code reuse still effective across different inputs or across different applications? Actually, the answer is yes. Let's see some data to back up this claim. This figure shows the performance benefit of persistent code generated from different inputs of the same application. The application here is GoBMK, which is the Go game from SPEC C in 2006. This application has 7 different inputs. So in this figure, each cluster of bars shows the performance achieved using a particular input. For example, the first bar shows the normalized execution time of GoBMK using the first input capture. Each bar in the cluster shows the performance achieved with persistent code generated from a different input. For example, the second bar in the first cluster, which is also the red bar, shows the performance achieved when we run GoBMK with capture input. But the persistent code is generated from connect input, which is the second input. And also the shortest bar in each cluster shows the performance achieved with the persistent code generated from the same input. So as shown in this figure, we can see our framework can get good performance improvement with persistent code generated from different input. This demonstrates the effectiveness of reusing translated code across different inputs to reduce the translation overhead. Next, let's see the performance benefit of persistent code generated from different applications. Here, we have 12 JavaScript applications. And for each application, we accumulate persistent code by running all other 11 applications one at a time in random order. The y-axis is the execution time normalized against the execution time without using persistent code. And each line in this figure shows the performance improvement for each application after using persistent code accumulated from one additional application to all other 11 applications across the x-axis in random order. For example, this blue line shows the performance improvement for application 6, S-Play, and it starts without using any persistent code and accumulates persistent code with one additional application until all other 11 applications are accumulated. So as shown in this line, we can see the performance improves as more persistent code is accumulated. However, for another application, application 3, the performance improves and then decreases after five more applications are accumulated. The reason is that the size of the accumulated persistent code increases the overhead required to manage and search for the translated code. So from this figure, we can see persistent code generated from different applications can help to reduce the translation overhead. However, to what extent can persistent code caching work across different, very different application domains? And how should such persistent code be managed when too much persistent code has been accumulated from too many applications remain as our future work? So here are some conclusions of this work. First, we demonstrated the effectiveness of reusing translated code to mitigate translation overhead for short-running applications. But to make it work, we need to overcome several challenges, which include relocatable guest binary code, relocatable host binary code, and dynamically generated host guest binary code. And in our work, we identified these challenges and proposed effective techniques to address them. And our evaluation results show that by overcoming these challenges, we can get good performance improvement by reusing translated code across different executions with the same input or with different input or even with or even across the different applications. This is my presentation. Thank you. I will take the question.
Questions?
Okay, dynamic binary translation is some kind of the slow compared to the virtualization. So what's the performance of your tools compared to the native applications?
Because we implemented our framework in existing dynamic translation system, HQMU, so our performance is based on HQMU. I remember basically the fourth spec C in 2006 for ref input, HQMU can get about three or four slowdown compared to native execution.
Yeah, I remember that maybe the optimized speed up maybe reduced to the less than two times of the native applications.
Yes, less than two times. I can't remember, maybe. Yeah.
So what's the future of your future work of this?
Yes. Actually, we are currently working on this future work.
So you continue to improve this. You mentioned you use the LLVM.
HQMU is use LLVM for trees optimization. It is this is a previous work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Do you have any data or even intuition about when the overhead of maintaining those things becomes? I know you're going to explore the size, how much you're going to keep in your repository as future work.
Yeah.
But you have already any indication of when, which size makes things to become that the overhead for storing and searching becomes bad, like you mentioned with the third application there?
Yeah, this is a very good question. Actually, we haven't a very appropriate size for each application because different applications may have different search overhead. So one of our future work is that we use some replacement policies to manage the size of the accumulated a persistent code. For example, the LRU policy is similar to the hardware code cache. This is one of our future work.
Okay. Yeah. And on the graph where you evaluate, you know, sharing applications, you introduce them always on the same order?
No. This is in random order.
So you do on random, because I was curious to see if you found specific orderings.
Yeah, this is a very good question. We randomly pick up one application from all other 11 applications.
For all 12, I choose one, and then the other 11, I introduce.
For example, for the first application, Richard, we accumulate the persistent code from the following 11 applications, and each time we randomly pick up one application from the 11 applications. After we generate the persistent code, this application is deleted from the 11 applications.
Yeah, because it could be one application that somehow expresses something that is common, and that would be like if you do it first, everyone benefits, and maybe that gives an insight about what, you know, for the cache. But okay, very good.
This is a very good question.
Okay, someone coded Navier Stokes in JavaScript?
I'm sorry.
You said they're all JavaScript, right?
Yes.
Because I didn't think someone would have Navier Stokes in JavaScript, that's all. I don't like. It's just curious. Okay. Any other question?
Thanks.